You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, everybody. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. And finally, I finally got around to doing, I don't know, intro and outro music that, I've been all the previous episodes, I've done different things that I thought fit or that I want to promote or that I like. And it's weird because how many times, listeners out there who have followed me almost every episode, how many times would you say that I've mentioned grunge music or specifically the Screaming Trees? How many times do you think? 5,000, 6,000 times? No, probably like a dozen times. I don't know. So it's just fitting that I finally got around to going, you know what? I really want to just do my intro music, outro music from the Screaming Trees because I like Mark Lanegan. Love that band. And as well as, you know, my Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, of course. But, you know, I'm a grunge kid at heart. Might as well have grunge intro and outro music. You might as well. I mean, it's who you are, John. I don't know. Am I talking to myself in the mirror? Yeah, something like that. I'm just like, come on. You know, what held you back? I'll tell you what held me back was the idea that, like, oh, I don't want to use copyrighted music. And then I thought, why don't we deal with that if it actually becomes an issue? Like, wouldn't that be a good problem to have? Like, well, you become more popular, but now you have to deal with that music that you play and you're going to have to remove it. Okay, I'll deal with that. Try to contact Mark Lanegan directly. He's like, hey, can I use this on my shitty little podcast? Who am I? Fuck, do you have a minute? So here we are. Man, month two of the lockdown, and it's been kind of eased out. And not that that really matters that much to, you know, because I've been working and stuff, and I've, you know, go out to the grocery store and all that, and I gotta say, yeah, even if they didn't ease some restrictions back, at least here in this state, Texas, although that's in, you know, the mayor has his own ideas of you know, of course, because you got local versus state versus federal. Who's gonna win? Who has the power? Who wants to keep the, you know, who wants to have the responsibility for when shit goes awry? If it does go awry, I don't know. That's like the it's gonna be a fun little match between the three types of government just to see what happens, and we're all caught in the middle. Join me. No, but I've been seeing a lot more people out even before they said, no, we need to ease. Let's get back out there. People are already back out there. You know, it's like they've reached a breaking point for the being stir crazy. And they're like, no, we're just going to go. Yeah, let's go drive around and let's go to the grocery store again, you know, for pickles. Just pickles? Yes, yeah, just pickles. We're going to go to the grocery store. Also, I ask once again, why the fuck are you in a hurry? People in big trucks driving really fast. What, you got to get home? Something you got to do? I don't think there is. I don't think there's anything going on. But, getting back to the grunge shit. So, I got the idea from, I was just killing time on social media, and one of my comedian buddies is like doing like little playlists for no reason and releasing them for, and since I'm finally on Spotify, I can actually do a put together a playlist that I can share, which I'm not going to do, except for one. I'm going to do one that I want to share And it's going to take me a bit, but it's going to be called basically a Grunge Kids Grunge Playlist. You know, an actual a playlist of stuff that's held up, for me at least, different tracks. Like, not songs that have been worn out by the radio. Nothing off of Pearl Jam's 10. Probably nothing from Pearl Jam. Maybe one, maybe two songs. I do not listen to Pearl Jam very often. And I finally kind of eased back on kind of the Pearl Jam to like, yeah, it's Pearl Jam. It's been interesting listening to younger people. You know, because I've basically listened to the albums as they come out by these bands over time. Just, you know, the feelings change about different bands, different albums, different songs, year after year over 28 years. So I'll let you know. And nobody asked for this, by the way. Nobody asked for a grunge playlist from me. But if anybody, but I've looked at the different grunge playlists on Spotify, and they're not fucking good. They're all like for like intro to grunge music type of shit. So it's all like stuff that we've heard on the radio for 30 fucking years. It's all the same, you know. Did you put Nirvana Lithium on this playlist? No shit. Get out of here. Oh, Spoonman by Soundgarden is on here? Wow. Let me hear what that sounds like. Like, it's all that kind of... And then it has just random stuff that has nothing to do with grunge at all, like Marcy's Playground or some kind of shit. Like, just kind of some random songs. Like, oh, this is from the 90s. That counts. It doesn't count. Like, I'm not putting Smashing Pumpkins on the playlist. Even though their first two albums I absolutely fucking love, and you could almost categorize it in that style. Obviously, you know, alternative music, alternative rock from early 90s, sure. But when I think of grunge, I don't think Smashing Pumpkins. I'm not going to, you know, and or Stone Temple Pilots. Will they make an appearance? Probably not. Just because it's not Seattle. It's not that kind of, it's like, hey, for one album, I can sing like Eddie Vedder. And then, if you listen to Scott Weiland sing from like the first album, where they're obviously that, you know, they had a producer going, no, you got to sing more like, hur, hur, you got to sing more like that, more from the throat, Scott. And then after like this, and once he gets into the second album and, the third and the fourth, then it's all like, I'm going to sing like me. And was it better? I don't know. Like, do I want original and not as good, or an imitating decent sound? I don't know. I like a lot of Stone Temple Pilots. I've really enjoyed, because I saw them live twice, and Scott Whelan kicked ass both times. It must have been a good day both times. But still, like, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, why don't I put together, nobody, like I said, nobody asked for it. Nobody's going to give a shit, but I'll give a shit. And I'll let you know, pretending that you're waiting that playlist. And I'll share it, blah, blah, blah. And once I eventually get it done, you know, because I have a busy schedule, so I don't know if I'll get around to it. Sure. All right. So I know I've said this a few times, and I'm going to say it again. Nobody that you personally know really knows anything about COVID-19. No, I mean, we know things. We know some things, but... it just, there's a whole lot of talk, and there's been a lot of changes. Then that's the thing, is that they don't, you know, they know a little bit. So as soon as there's a little bit of information, they immediately put it out. And then, the media is like, oh, boom, let's blow this out and infer some shit and put that out to you. And it's interesting because I did a search for this particular news article that I saw that I want to share involving the coronavirus and nicotine. So when I Googled it in the Google News, looking up COVID-19 and nicotine, it pulls up a bunch of articles over the past, you know, few days, and also like all the way back over the past like 3 or 4 weeks. So you see at like 20 something days ago, them saying, hey, smokers and vapers, you may want to, you know, you may want to stop because, you know, the coronavirus is, you know, going to kill you. You know, it's just like was really, which is fine and makes sense, you know, with the whole, you know, attacking your respiratory system, hard to breathe kind of thing. And then you compare that to smokers. That totally makes sense. What I don't understand is then throwing e-cigs into the mix. And of course, this is one of those things where, you know, I'm, you know, as somebody who vapes, I pay attention to that a little bit more than some of the other news. And it's just, it seems to me, because a lot of times when e-cigarettes and vaping is attacked, it's attacked by people who already, they're already anti-cigarette, I totally get. But they, I think they throw, it's just one of those things that, like, you know, they're like, well, we, you know, it's almost like an assumption. It's like, well, we assume this is also unhealthy. I know it's not as unhealthy as cigarette smoke, but it can't be good for you guys. We should probably ban it or whatever. And, which is just kind of irritating. It really is. My theory is just that because when you see people vape, it's kind of douchey and it's kind of irritating. I get it that it's like it's visibly bothering people. So it's like, this can't be good for you. Look at that asshole. And I get it. I'm that asshole sometimes. I get that it's kind of, and I see other people that vape and it bothers me. Especially the people who vape who didn't smoke cigarettes. They just, you know, jumped on it and, you know, kind of a deal. I get it. It bothers you. You're concerned about children, some of you. You know, oh, the kids today are vaping. Yeah, but think about why they're vaping. They did it because they saw, as they grew up, they're young. They haven't been alive as long as we have. They, you know, so they're seeing, you know, from their own perspective, and their perspective is, wow, cigarettes stink and kill a lot of motherfuckers. Vaping seems cool. I'm going to go with vaping. So all of your thetruth.com campaigns and all of your trying to protect the children by overtaxing cigarettes and all this other stuff to try to get rid of smoking, none of that worked. What worked was just over time, the new generation going, ah, it's not for me. Nah, we're not going to drink that much either. Nah, alcohol seems to cause a lot of problems. We think we're going to stick with weed. No, weed seems to not kill anyone. You know, they have their own perspective. You guys didn't have to, you know, watch out for them. They used their own problem-solving skills and figured that shit out. Of course, now you're worried about them vaping. You're like, oh my God, these kids are vaping. Yeah, but they're not smoking. The number one concern for children, for young teens and all that, for was cigarettes forever, but now it's vaping. It's like, wow. So it's like, you know, you can be concerned, but shouldn't you be maybe slightly less concerned? I don't know. That's not the point. The point is that so I don't trust what they, you know, immediately like, you know, there's no conclusive evidence, but we think it might not be good for you. But then I saw this article, and of course, it's the French who fucking love cigarettes. But the French scientists will test nicotine against COVID-19 is the name of the article, because they basically, these French researchers have a they have a hypothesis that nicotine, not cigarettes, but nicotine, can help the body combat infection. Let me see what was the actual quote. Because it's apparently this trial that they're going to do is a follow-up from a study that they published earlier this month, which is public health data, which appeared to show that people who smoke are 80% less likely to catch COVID-19 than non-smokers of the same age and sex. Now, that's one study, and it's by the French who love to smoke. So you have to kind of go, all right, well, that's one study. And obviously, there aren't a whole lot of these studies because everybody's trying to do other things. Like, they're trying to do vaccines and figure other stuff out. It's can we smoke, or is smoking a benefit, is not like high up on the priorities list. It is for the French, and God bless them, I guess. But that's an interesting thing. But the it's what it says is that the scientists hypothesized in their study that nicotine, which is contained in cigarettes, thank you, news article, could influence whether or not the coronavirus molecules are able to attach themselves to receptors in the body. And there's this quote by Jean-Pierre Changu, who's the emeritus professor of neuroscience at Francis Pasteur Institute. And this is his quote. You have the virus, which... Okay. Bear with me. All right. You have the virus, which arrives on the receptor, and the nicotine blocks that, and they separate. So, interesting, huh? You know, later say, that could give us a way to reduce the stress of the... Hey, I'm terrible at accents. I apologize. Mohan. But so what they're doing is they're actually going to try to, so they've got like, they're going to do like nicotine patches with some people, and other people are going to be wearing like placebo patches, which, I mean, I don't know if you've ever worn a nicotine patch, but you know it's working. You're like, whoa, that's a buzz. So I don't know, the groups wearing the placebo patches are going to be very aware that their patches don't have any nicotine coursing through their veins or whatever into their body. But they're basically, it's groups of healthcare workers and patients who are wearing both kinds of patches, and they're going to see if there's a difference in how their bodies respond to the virus. So that's interesting and encouraging to me, who is not quitting vaping. This isn't facts, obviously, but it allows me to go, maybe there's something to that. I'm going to convince myself there is something to that, which makes, you know, mind power makes it so, placebo effect, it'll make me more healthy. I'm going to do other things too, but also I'm going to walk around with confidence that I'm fighting the virus as I'm annoying the shit out of everyone around me with my vaping. That's my plan. But also, I mean, that's with vaping. Like, I don't think that if you're smoking cigarettes, you may want to do whatever you like as long as you're isolating, but just know that it sounds like if you do get COVID and you're a heavy smoker, that shit's gonna hurt. So just, you know, keep yourself informed, I guess. Who knows? I've been thinking about it, about how to, I have not had anybody contact me, because on a semi-regular basis, I get people who contact me who are concerned about they're drinking or about they're using or about something, or they're thinking about getting sober, and they start talking. So they kind of pick my brain and ask me a few things. And it's what normally happens is they contact me in one form or another, usually by a Facebook message or text message. And then, you know, I ask them if there's a good time to talk, you know, maybe during the day when they're not drinking, because typically they're messaging me while they're drunk at night. It's like, I got to quit this. And it's like, that's great, but I would rather give you tips when you're sober. You know, do you want to quit when you're sober and your head's a little bit more clear? Not that you hit that you bottomed out in the middle of your drinking and you're just like, oh, you know, you had that downswing in the middle of your drunk. And so you're temporarily going to change everything, you know, with your moment of clarity. I'd rather have I'd rather you want to do that during your afternoon of clarity. And I haven't had anybody during this quarantine pandemic, I have not had anybody contact me. And I think it is because everybody's just kind of gone, fuck it. I'm staying at home. I'm going to get drunk. I'm not driving from the living room to the bedroom. So I, you know, and recycling containers that I see as I've traveled around confirm people are doing some goddamn drinking. But the thing about it is that if I did have somebody contact me, how the fuck would I give them any advice? Quarantine advice. Like, if anybody gives you quarantine advice, you really just have to go, quarantine advice? How the fuck would you know? Because they don't. Well, in my experience, when I was quarantined, in 1917, this is what we did. Like, I don't think that there's any way that they would know. So it's just kind of like, oh, you're going to give me some advice? Okay. People's places and things? Well, I'm stuck in a place with people and things. I can't change any of them. So your typical bullshit, the typical thing, well, you got to change people, places, and things. Well, what if you can't? What if you can't change any of that? What do you do now there, genius? Sober master? How do you fix this shit? Man, I have no fucking idea. That sounds fucking rough. When recovery is rough enough, getting sober is tough enough. So now you're going to try to do that in the middle of a pandemic quarantine on top of that? Man, good luck. It can be done. You know, if your question is, how am I, you know, staying sober? Because, yes, I am still sober. Well, that whole thing, you know, it's been over 7 years, so it's like it's not, you know, I'm just following the path I've been on. But I can, you know, you gotta get new hobbies. You gotta come up with a new structure and a new schedule. If you're going to, if for some reason, let's say that you drank for the entire first month of quarantine. Good for you. No. But it's to the point where you're like, nah, this was not good. I get it. So what do? Well, you're stopping because you need to save money. You need to save, you're trying to get more healthy. So you're probably starting to exercise again. So that's the whole thing. You got to look at breaking up your normal patterns. It takes at least 45 days. I've talked about that before, about how it takes at least 45 days to form a new habit. you know, probably longer depending on the each individual, but it's like on average they, you know, psych people say it's about 45 days. So what you should do, you have to break up your normal patterns since you're introducing stuff. Because if you follow your same old patterns, but you're going to go, I'm going to still do everything that I normally do in the same way that I normally do it, but without the drugs and or the alcohol that I use. Yeah, but everything else is going to stay the same. No, so what you need to do is you need to start something new. So I don't know what, you know, find some new interests. Maybe don't bake bread. Don't make your new interest be a failure. Just, you know, and hack. Don't be hacky. You know, but figure out, find some things to do. Find, you know, figure out, you know, if you got to take walks, if you've got to move around, and just break up, you know, go to bed at a different time than you normally used to. Don't sleep in like you normally used to. Like just break everything up so that everything's new or feels a little new, and then you can get into that so that so you don't slip into a pattern which then makes you want to slip back into what, you know, the use that you're used to. Forgive me. But that's the only thing I could think of. And it just seems, what a situation to be in if you're trying to, you know, luckily I had provided the different, I posted a few weeks ago that the New York Times had an article that listed a bunch of different resources. Now, whatever, if you find a group, whether it be AA or whether it be one of the alternatives, every single organization, recovery organization out there has a resource to find online, like Zoom meetings. So they are out there. So you can definitely still network with other people to hold you accountable. You can still get yourself a sponsor if you're into that kind of thing, or just your support network. You can still have it, you know, contact people and have a support network. Don't do it on your own, because, you know, you haven't been able to do it on your own before. You're like, but this time, why don't you get some help as well? Like, have people support you, have people help. It is you. You are the one doing it. That's the thing, is that, you know, it's like, I have no willpower. No, you do. You just have to give up that control and, you know, allow yourself to be helped, because then it convinces the psychology is it convinces you that you can do it because you have help. Even though you're the one doing it, it's the trick, but the placebo effect kind of bullshit, where you have that support system and then you can fucking do it, man. So that's what I would suggest. Holy hell. We're at 28 and a half minutes on this bad boy. So thank you guys for joining me. Fuck, what did I do? I just talked about vaping, grunge, and then sobriety. Oh, the holy trinity of John fucking Rabin. of who I am now. Those are my three big ones. Thank you, guys. I hope, you know, hang in there. Who knows what the future may hold, but we're still here. You know, stay sober, stay sane. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. We'll see you next week. Later. Back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside.